a little technical on BHL. Find out more. Keep watching. This is BHL's Next.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live Next.
For a minute, but I'm back now. Sit the fuck back down.
Okay.
Like everybody nowadays,
this is brought to you by Mr. Idris Sandu in studio with us right now. I haven't heard this in a minute.
I'ma show him how to
act. This is a good choice.
Just a younger run around with his man's hammer.
You like it?
I love Logic. Run, motherfucker, run for the pole, get the gun, put it to your brain like goddamn.
Yeah. Everything you talk about. I love Logic. I feel like
and we got like the same flow too. So.
Oh, really? Oh, really? I forgot. You do have like your whole little music side.
Yeah, I mean music. I mean, like, you know, as you'll hear my story, like music ultimately brought me to tech.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah, I kind of thought it was like the other way around.
Nah. It was music.
Wow.
At first, I fell in love with music like coming out the womb.
Gosh. You know? In case you guys don't know, this is Idris Sandu in here for BHL's Next. I feel like my IQ has probably dropped down by a lot with him just being in the studio. He's one of the smartest guests I have ever had. And in a minute, I'll tell you why. But first, this is Raylan T. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raylan Taren. Idris, let the people know where they can find you on social media.
All my social media handles are the same. Idris _ Sandu. That's IDDRIS _ SANDU. And you know, yeah.
Just follow him. Give him that follow.
Questions. Give
yeah.
Him that follow.
Give him that. You're going to want to follow him after this, you know, hearing his story. For sure.
Yep.
So let's just get right into it. You were an innovator at such a young age in high school. You created this app to help your peers navigate through campus. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I started learning a program at a very, very young age, you know.
Like what age?
Like 10. You know, you want me to go back and like give you the story?
Wait, 10?
Yeah.
You're learning how to program at 10. You know what's funny is that I feel like us, like our generation, especially when MySpace came out, we were kind of learning how to code.
HTML. Yeah,
yeah, we were kind of learning, but didn't really know what we were doing.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was like, it was such of a boom that it was like, it was, you know, if you notice, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
you know what
definitely.
I mean? So it was like, it was a thing that you would, it would swoop right by you, but unless you captured it, you really
yeah.
wouldn't know. Like MySpace, everybody was coding their you know, backgrounds,
their whole
and
page
and,
yes
yeah, all of that. So you know, I mean, like I was born out here, mm-hmm. you know, raised out here.
What part specifically for people?
Harbor City, parts of Compton,
hey,
Torrance, you know,
hey,
I'm repping,
LA native.
Yep, LA native. And you know, having you know, two parents from West Africa, Ghana, West Africa, you know, living out here. My mom was like, has always instilled, you know, she's like the ambassador of my life, you know.
Yeah, and but education was definitely
yeah.
number
but,
one.
But, you know, my dad, on the other hand, he wasn't like always there. You know, he came to my life when I was like 5, 6 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was like 9, and this is like the story of how, you know, how
yes,
it all started.
Yes, I need to know.
When I was like 9. You know, he convinced my mom, like, you know, I want to take him on a trip to, you know, West Africa. He's never met my heritage, my side of the family, blah, 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 all that. My, you know, my mom, she agreed because my mom, she, you know, she was raised in West Africa. So she has that sort of mentality where it's like, you know, male superior dominant type thing.
Mm.
And so, we ended up going there and we stayed there for about like 4 or 5 days.
Wow. What was that experience like?
It was crazy.
Just seeing it.
It was
especially
like,
being in America and then going to a whole nother country where everything is different.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a village, right? It's
wow.
a village in West Africa. And, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, it was hot. It was like, I started getting sick. I got malaria from a mosquito bite and stuff.
You're kidding.
And, you know, I just remember like, you know, on the 5th day, it was like, you know, just waking up and like, he wasn't there. You know, returns to the States and Lily leaves me there.
In Africa?
Yeah.
Wait.
Not just in Africa, because there's like very nice parts of Africa. I'm
yeah, but I'm
about,
just saying,
like
wait. He left you in another country.
Yeah. Yeah. He left me in another country. And,
By yourself or like...
No, with his extended family.
Okay, because I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, but...
But I mean, still.
But still, with his extended family.
That you don't even know.
That I don't... I've never met.
You never met. No, like so, that. That's you crazy, know, okay?
And I ended up staying there for like 8-9 months. It was crazy.
What?
I mean, I went through like crazy things. You know, he never called. I mean, I went through like, you know, from scenarios of having to carry like a bucket of water, you know, half a mile just to shower, to, you know, having to carry things for people. Like, you know, I just went through like real crazy stuff. But, you know, I'm just going to like skip because it's a super long story. But, you know, ultimately I was walking down some train tracks at night and I met this lady and she was an NGO, non-government organization lady, there to just help and assist. And, you know, yeah, she sees me and, I'm just walking and I was singing Gold Digger, Kanye West. And so I'm rapping. And as soon as I said broke, I kicked this rock and it hit the lady. And, you know, it hit her leg and she's like, ow. And then she turns and she's like, young man, you hit me. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And then she goes, it's okay. I heard you, you know, rapping. You know, if I didn't know any better, I would either think that you weren't from here or that you just watch a lot of American music videos. And I was like,
oh my God.
You know, and I was like, oh, that 11-year, da-da-da, like, gave her this whole story. You know, I mean, it's like a super long story, but ultimately, you know, I return back here.
What did your mom say when she found out that you were out there?
My mom, you
for
know,
that...
my mom was pissed, super pissed. But then again, my mom, like I said, my mom, she has the cultural thing, you know. So it was like, I'm super pissed. And I know, you know, the power that we have in the United States to be able to go here and go here and report things. But it, she kind of like laid back and was like, all right, he knows what he's doing, you know, but, you know, so that was like at the age of like 9, 10. So like fast forward like to 10, returned back here. And, you know, it was even, it kind of, it changed me forever.
Definitely. Especially you know? You're seeing another country and you're seeing how advanced we are technologically in America. Than
yeah.
To,
I mean, seeing nothing there, seeing like, you know, the old telephone system, seeing like, you know, it was really like living in like the 1900s type thing. And I wasn't really, I mean, I had always been like a kid that just like breaking remotes down and looking at the transistors and all of that.
Wow.
But I wasn't into tech as much as, you know, I am now. And so fast forward, summer 2008, Steve Jobs, he unveils the first iPhone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just got super inspired by listening to the podcast. And I'm
what
like,
podcast was this?
This was the first one of the first initial.
And
Apple.
I'm like, podcast at 2008 or like, what? You know what I mean? Because now
like,
podcasts are like, a huge thing. Like, I just see this is a podcast. Like, we're, you know, on iTunes. So I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I mean, at that time, I wouldn't even consider it a podcast. It was more of just like an audio recording type thing, you know. And so I remember watching it and, you know, he talked about, you know, Apple later wanting to introduce like a developer program where regular people could make apps for regular people. You know, the importance of the iPhone was it signified two things. One, the first time where people could actually touch the software before we had buttons like the Blackberries and the pump before it was all buttons. But Apple, they introduced multi-touch, which allowed you to actually touch software. And the second thing was they allowed anyone to make apps.
Yeah.
Basically. So you didn't have to be that developer that went to school for 20 years. And,
to make an app.
Know, yeah.
And so, like I said, and you did that.
Yeah. And so like, you know, I started just going to the library for about a year and a half straight, two years, learning on every like programming language, like C Sharp, Python. And the Python came a year after, but C Sharp, Java, you know,
Java.
R, assembly. Basic, like I did all of those and I just engulfed that. And even going to the library, I would experience things like, you know, white kids coming up to me, snatching books out of my hand, saying like, this wasn't meant for people of my race to be reading, you know? So I went through like
You're kidding.
Even
kidding.
After like coming back.
This is like, come on. Are you kidding?
Yeah. And
that's
so, you know,
crazy.
At 13, I just gathered, you know, just like a lot of, strength, I guess, you know, and I just I applied for an internship at Google and I got the internship and I stayed there for a year. And after that, I'm just gonna like forward through everything that happened after that. And then at 14, I was focusing on middle school, but Yeah, so after that, I was just doing a mini internship at Lockheed Martin and Boeing, and I was designing jet propulsion engines and stuff. And then,
oh my gosh, I told you guys, your IQ was about to just go down after like seeing all that you've done at such a young age. But yes, continue.
Yeah, and then like 15, taking like a little gap, and then 16, working at Twitter.
Oh, just taking a little gap.
Taking a little gap.
Then, from doing all that I've done.
And then 16, doing a job for Twitter, infrastructure analytics.
Yeah.
Refiltering hashtags and all of that. And then 16, writing that algorithm for
Hold that thought, because I'm really going to like let people know that in a minute, because that has really kind of like... I heard everything that you've said when I've heard you speak before, but that really, one of the most things, like, everything stuck with me, but that really stuck with me, because that's something that if you are on that every day. But back to you creating this app. Now, a lot of people do have these great ideas, and they don't know sometimes how to execute them, or they're overwhelmed. But then again, at the same time, they see these companies like Snapchat or I guess we can even go to Candy Crush, you know, as something as simple as a game, and how successful these apps have become. Now, is it as easy to create an app? Is it that simple? Or does it take a lot of, you know, time and other people to help you, you know, execute this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more so of... a question of quality, really. You know, just like a website, you know, you can tell the difference between a website that was, you know, 100 hours was spent into, and you could tell the difference between a website that like 5-6 hours was spent into. You know, and that's the thing with like apps. A lot of modules, and I'm not just speaking for myself, I'm speaking for the general community, and I'm sure they can relate to this. A lot of things, you know, can be pulled from APIs now. So application programming interfaces. These are basically little modules that are already built that you can just integrate into your app.
Okay, so it's like if you were going to build your own website from these platforms that allow you.
Things,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
Or, yeah.
Okay, or Weebly or something like that.
Yeah,
wow.
Pulling directly, like for example, if I wanted to create a Snapchat filter app, I wouldn't have to code and go out and take like face masks of people.
You're kidding.
Integrate into
You know, learned something new.
Yeah, and some people, they use APIs, and some people, they natively just build it. So, you know, that's all dependent on, like, what you want. Like, for example, if I wanted to create the next Google Maps, that will take forever.
Yeah, you can't do it with just an API.
So why not just use, like, Google's APIs to integrate into my app and add whatever layers I wanted to do? So, you know, ultimately, I feel as though programming is something that everyone can learn. And everyone
That's another thing. How long do you feel like it would take someone to really get or know how to program?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like the question, you know.
Because
I don't
you said you were in a library for like a year.
Yeah, I was in the library for about 2 years, but I was learning.
So I'm like, does everybody have to be in the library and really like study this as, you know, an art, basically?
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I went to library is because, you know, when I was growing up in 2008, 2007,
it wasn't as common.
There weren't YouTube videos you could just go
that's
to and
true.
Check. But now it's like, you know, everyone can learn how to program just by going on. And the majority of us are visual learners.
Yes.
You know, we don't like reading books anymore. No. They make us fall asleep. So in this generation, you could just go on YouTube and pull up videos and learn how to. Like, I learned Facebook React through YouTube. It's another language that Facebook created. But yeah, ultimately, like, everyone can learn programming in this age, and it shouldn't take you that long. Like, I've personally taught kids, like, I started a program in Compton, and we taught about 15 to 20 kids how to write an app in less than 2 weeks. You know,
come on, y'all, we got to get it together.
You
got to get it together.
It's all dependent on so many different factors, you know. But yeah, that app, I created this module for Instagram, which, you know, the whole goal of making this app was accessibility.
Yes.
You know, I'm a humanist. I want to see everyone thrive. I don't like gaps. You know, I don't like classism. I'm not, you know, the whole elitism and then everything under that. And I want everyone to have an equal experience.
You know what? And that's one thing that I do applaud you on. I know that you have said that, you know, innovation and creation has no color.
No color.
So what are you doing, you think, in particular that is helping, you know, young people, specifically people in the Black community, to be more involved in science and technology?
Yeah. So I have a nonprofit, ABLE, and you can actually go to ABLE, ABLE.com.
Okay.
It's the ABLE Empowerment Foundation. And the whole goal of this nonprofit is to basically be an incubator and accelerator for you know, minorities in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not saying if you aren't a minority, you can't get accepted into this program. But mm-hmm. if there's four minorities in the line and you're that one person mm-hmm. who's not a minority standing in the line, you'll go after these four people.
Yes.
And so the whole goal is to just allow minorities to work on groundbreaking, innovative technologies
mm-hmm.
without needing to go to this school and this school. You know, yes. I was 13, 14 interning at Google, but I would see kids come from MIT. Harvard, MIT,
yeah.
black kids, and mm-hmm. well, not MIT, Harvard, like Yale, mm-hmm. all these other schools that weren't technologically equipped with the latest curriculums,
okay.
and they wouldn't get the job.
Mm.
They had good SAT scores, ACT scores, extracurriculars, but their programming skills were lacking.
Mm.
And so I'm like, well, it's only the top, top, top elite schools that are even giving kids even relative, you know, education
it's
in these fields.
To, yeah, definitely.
And even they are behind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, you know, if kids are in school, in high school, and they're not even learning about what's going on right now, like artificial intelligence, like machine learning,
mm-hmm.
like cognitive-based learning, like Internet of Things, you know, things like that. If they're not even being exposed to that now, then we're making a big mistake.
Do you think that there's some type of stigma or taboo within our, you know, the United States education system of being scared of technology? Because, you know, you see, especially the older generation, not really, you know, warming up to the different new technologies that we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's only human nature. You know, we as people, you know, when we don't have answers,
mm-hmm.
the first instinct that kicks in is fear.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
Fear is the first instinct when we are not equipped with an answer. And I feel like it's only natural. You know, technology, we created technology. And I remember, you know, like, well, I wasn't alive, but I remember reading books on Alan Turing. And he's like the father of modern day computing.
Uh-huh.
And even Moore's Law, you know, stating that the number of transistors
mm-hmm.
On a chip, these are what process all the information.
Mm-hmm.
It doubles.
Hmm.
All the time. Like, it doubles, like, every year or so. And, you know, what's happening now is a computer... Have you watched the movie with Taraji, where she was, like, the astronaut?
Oh, Hidden Figures.
Yes, Hidden Figures. If you notice, those computers were
huge.
Mainframe computers, super huge.
Taking up a whole room.
And
that's what people were... I remember people had told me that, like, computers used to take up a whole room. I'm like, what do you mean?
Like, a whole room?
Yeah.
And they could only do, like, basic things.
So much, yes.
Like, you know, those were just memory calculations to send a man to the moon and
mm-hmm.
back, right? Now you have about 1 trillion times more powerful devices in your hand.
Yeah.
And it's only been less than 100 years.
Yeah.
Like, this phone is literally 1 trillion times more powerful than those early on machines in your pocket. And so if a computer like that can detonate a nuclear bomb, then what can this do?
A lot.
And we're only in
2017.
And, you know, the crazy thing is, and what scares people the most, and it's why people like Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk and, you know, Peter Thiel are on the forefront of this is, you know, it's scary, artificial intelligence. And, you know, we've seen so many movies like Terminator, like Ex Machina. We've seen so many movies. iRobot. That depict what artificial intelligence can do. And, you know, to some extent, you have to fear that.
No,
you know,
yes, definitely. That is my fear. That's what I was like, oh, iRobot, that was on the top of my list. I was like,
correct. We fear these machines because we know our capacity.
Yeah.
You know, we know that they're eventually going to be better than us. That's the scary part about it.
Wow.
You know, when you create a machine and, all right, you know, my job is to take this phone and put it here 100,000 times.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get to about 70, you know, moves in before I get tired and I start to, my motivation levels start to
mm-hmm,
go down.
Mm-hmm.
But machines, they have no emotion.
Yeah.
You know, they just do tasks without, you know, needing motivation, without needing breaks, without needing anything. You know, you just have to maintain them. And, you know, machines will realize that they can do more complex tasks faster, better, and, you know, without the morality factor that we humans have. And on top of that, you know, if we create very, very intelligent machines, they'll realize that throughout history, man is only destroyed. You know what I mean? Like,
so this is real. So you're basically saying all the movies that I've seen about this is actually reality.
Well, it's their perspectives.
A possible reality.
Yeah, their perspectives of what reality can do. You know, if we create artificial intelligence and we have have access to everything, nuclear yes. codes and all of that and uh-huh. everything. You know, it could just look at how humans are. Conflict is part of human nature. You know, it would realize that, you know, we humans, we have so many different factors, both positive and negative, like greed, like, you know, zeal. There's so many things mm-hmm. that machines generally wouldn't have. And at some point it would deem, yo, like, humans are obsolete. If we gave yeah. it full control, of course,
yes.
to just run, you know, we trust you, just run, you know, it can adapt certain feelings. It's like a baby.
Yeah.
You know, you could, if you don't really maintain it, you know, you never know how it might end up. Grow up to be.
Yes.
And so, yeah, there is definitely a fear, and there should be a fear with artificial intelligence. That's why people like Elon Musk and Peter Thiel and, you know,
are stressing
on this, because it's really important. If it falls into the wrong hands yeah. or the wrong government or the wrong anything, you know, it could really wreak havoc.
Well, you named some powerful people, but there is another powerful man that Idris has met, and I'm so jealous, and it's President Barack Obama. Now, when I was 17, he was running for his second term, and of course I couldn't vote because I was too young. But yeah, you got to actually meet him not once but twice. Now, the first time it was because you won the Presidential Scholar Award, and tell me how you became the recipient of this. I feel like it's a very self-explanatory award, Presidential Scholar Award, but tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I mean, so I did this program with the city of LA. And we went to the White House of the United States, mm-hmm. and I didn't get to meet Obama that time.
You didn't?
That time.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, I was like, you know what? I never know when we're going to have another president that looks like me. So I'm going to do everything in combination with everything else I'm doing to, you know, make that impact.
Yes,
you know, for
definitely.
Him to even notice me shaking. So, you know, in high school, I created this app for my school.
Yes.
You know, which gave students turn-by-turn directions to navigate to the classroom.
Was your school big?
Narbonne High School, yeah, it was relatively big.
Yeah?
It was pretty big. And, you know, I was like, you know, it wasn't more so that the school was big, but there was so much disruption. And I don't like chaos and disruption. You know, that's like one of my biggest pet peeves. When when I have to do a task and then I have to go out of that task to do another task,
mm-hmm.
and someone needs me to complete that task, there's no one to complete that task.
Yeah.
So when a staff member needs to be focused on one thing, but a new student comes into the office and says, I don't know how to get to this class, and the staff member goes out for 30 minutes, there's no one to fill that
yeah.
role in. And so I was like, I need to create a solution with this. I can't just take all this God-given talent that I have and technology and not do anything. So
You created this app. How long did it take you to create this?
Like 3 weeks.
What?
Yeah, it took like 3 weeks.
3 weeks!
And then it was published.
What was it called?
It's still in the store. It's called it was for Android. It's called the Narbonne High School app. It's still there right now.
Oh wow! Do yeah. kids still use this
yeah,
at your
kids,
school?
Yeah, we have
like
10,000 downloads. Yeah.
Okay.
For a high school
Narbonne.
App. Yeah. You know, I haven't really updated and stuff, so I think it still works. But yeah, and you know, I just got home like 2 weeks into launching the app,
mm-hmm.
and I checked my email, and the header read White House of the United States. I'm like, okay, what's this? And you know,
were you scared at all, or did you
yeah,
know?
I was like, you know, man, you know, because I had met with I was summoned by the ITA department of LAUSD. So all schools in LA are governed by LAUSD, right?
Yeah.
And so I met with their tech department. So every laptop, every, you know, Wi-Fi router, anything that's in a Los Angeles school, every, you know, jurisdiction
yeah.
has their own. But LAUSD, these are the people that, you know, check everything.
Oh, monitor
everything.
Searching and whatnot.
You know,
okay.
So like they summoned me in and they're like, you know, how did you create this and when did you create this? And you know,
they didn't believe that you did this on your own.
I mean, you know, even when I went to the principal of the school, you know, I was like, I want to create this app for the school. And you know, I guess he thought I was gonna hire some like Indian developers to get it done
yeah.
overseas or something. But I was like, no, I'm actually coding this for us, you know.
Yeah.
And then he was like, all right, cool, you know, just do it. And then I did do it, and it's like, wow,
yeah.
you did it, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
And then, yeah, opening the email and seeing the header, White House of the United States, opening it and, you know, reading it, and it says, you know, congratulations, you've been invited by President Obama for a one-on-one meeting
oh
and
my gosh.
All these other things. And I'm supposed to be the recipient that year, but I was the recipient of the Presidential Scholar Award.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
And the second time it was also really amazing. You know,
second time for STEM commission, right?
Yeah,
and
for
in
STEM
case
commission.
You guys don't know, STEM is science, technology, engineering, mathematics,
which is really important.
Yes,
especially for the younger generation.
Definitely.
You know, we were commissioned to start, you know, the first STEM commission in LA, and it was really great.
And then that time you got to meet him.
No, I met him both times.
Oh, you met him both times?
Yeah, I'm just saying. I've been to the White House three times.
Wait, you went to the White House three times?
Yeah.
Also, at this point, you're just probably calling him Barry behind the clothes outside, like, Barry. Yeah. So what's up?
You know, he's really cool. You know, I still want to work with him on some stuff, some Chicago initiatives. Like, I have solutions, technology solutions that can filter out the water systems in Detroit.
Mm.
You know, it's like, I'm just a vessel for humanity.
Yeah.
You know, I was put on this earth not for the lavishing and all that. I'm a vessel. I'm made to be put to use. I'm made to spark a whole generation. You know, it's like I like to call it the Great Wall of China effect. You know, the first people that laid down the first foundation when building the Great Wall of China, they knew they wouldn't finish.
Mm.
But they knew if they put enough motivation and dedication and
it'll
blood, sweat, and tears,
the
next generation would be inspired by that motive and continue building on. And that's what I want to do for our generation. You know, instill them with a sense of discipline, you know, that we lack. you know, motivation, skill level, innovative, creative ways of thinking and processing your information and saying, go run with this, you know, just do the right thing with it.
And everybody's inspired. I know that you got a chance to meet another LA native and rapper, Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah, Nip, shout out to Nipsey.
Yeah, tell me about this interesting coffee shop encounter.
Yeah, you know, so like right after, you know, entering for all these Twitter and then Instagram and creating that, I was at Snapchat. And I helped design the spectacles and then the new redefined.
You're kidding.
Yeah, the spectacle. I was on the product design team. I do product design too. So that was like another little thing.
Guys, is there anything he can do?
And then due to a connection, right after that, I was poached by Uber. And they were trying to figure out security for self-driving cars.
Oh, yes. We're going to get into that too. So,
you know,
yeah.
So I was modifying that software for Uber in the library, and I was using this device called Leap Motion.
How old are you at this time?
Starbucks. I was that was this year. The Nipsey thing was this year.
And let everybody know how old you are too.
I'm 20 years old. I'm 20 years young. My birthday is May 7th, 1997.
Okay, so you're in Starbucks, you're coding for Uber, you're figuring out everything for Uber, and then...
Yeah, and that's like me, you know, I like to be in natural environments.
Yeah.
You know, I have an office and everything, but I prefer to be around people. Being around people inspires me to want to create on a higher level. And so I'm just in Starbucks, you know, moving my hands because I have this software that can read your bone density. I wanted to apply it in the medical field. Nipsey pulls up, you know, and everyone's like, oh my God, Nipsey or whatever, you know, pulls up in his Maybach. He cool, you know. the backstory is his daughter wanted a unicorn frappuccino.
Oh,
from Starbucks, right?
That was the thing. This is recent.
I want it from there. You know, he rarely goes to that Starbucks. I had never been to that Starbucks in my life.
Really? Where is the Starbucks?
It's on Fig
by
USC. Something was like, just go here. My laptop was fully charged.
God.
I didn't need, I wasn't hungry or anything. Something just said, go here.
Mm.
And so, you know, I text my best friend and I was like, bro, Nipsey's here. I have a strong feeling he's about to come talk to me. He was like, man, ain't nobody about to come talk to you blah, 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 and stuff. And like, you know, he didn't. And so, you know, Nipsey goes to, you know, the front, orders the unicorn frap. His daughter goes to the restroom, and I was sitting by the restroom, so I guess he saw what I was doing. But he goes in the car, you know, he starts the car, and then he puts it back off and then comes in, and he comes and talks straight to me. He's like, yo, you know, someone just telling me to come talk to you right now, and I was really curious about what you were doing, and I was like, yo, I just... left Uber's, you know, office in Torrance, and like I was helping them with their self-driving cars, but I'm modifying the software. And he's like, well, you know, I've been trying to get on this whole technology wave, and I don't know how to integrate it into my products.
Wow.
And we have this store that we're launching soon called the Marathon Store.
Yeah.
And it was just that, the Marathon Store.
Mm-hmm.
no technology integrated into mm-hmm. it, no anything. And we've even redesigned the store after, you know, I was like, we should bolt iPads to the ground and we should have those artworks up there. So none of that was there. It wasn't intended to be there. And, you know, he's like, is there a way that we can integrate something? And I was like, I've been working on something and I it's the perfect fit, right? You know, because there's so many ideas. There's hundreds of ideas I wanted to launch solely alone, but I'm still building my brand to where if I hadn't built my brand, if I launched these things, they wouldn't be as huge or make enough impact as they could. And so the whole motive was, okay, you know, Tech Kid partners with hip hop artists. Why? You know, and it was, we saw the turnout.
It makes so much sense. It makes so much sense.
We had kids in Inglewood, Compton coming out, being inspired by technology as the new cool thing, you know. So, he was like, come to the studio, let's vibe for a little bit, and we'll see what we come up with. Went to the studio, talked, and 2 weeks later, we launched it. You know, and it was amazing, crazy turnout. We had Russell Westbrook. We had Vegas Jones. Shout out to Vegas and Russell. You know, they came out. It was really amazing. And for me, it was really monumental because it was like my foot through the door to hip hop.
Yes.
You know, I can't make any changes if my culture doesn't really identify me
with
as someone
exactly.
who is
you
of
do
that.
Want to be. You do want them to identify and be familiar with.
Exactly.
What you're trying to, you know, show them and introduce them.
Exactly.
To.
And it's all part of the grand plan.
Yeah.
You know, I can't really explain where all of these things will link up to.
But it will.
But at the end, like, there's, you know, just some real amazing, crazy things about to happen in the next, you know, 4 or 5 months.
And I saw that, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, he actually was with Nipsey, and then you actually got to sit down with him and tell him about your story, which he was shocked by your resume because you did all this at such a young age, which everybody is shocked by. But what was it like talking to him? I know he's a judge on the new Apple series, Planet of the Apps, which is really cool. It's like, if you guys don't know, it's like the Shark Tank version of apps, basically.
Yeah, you know, Gary, that's my guy. He's real cool. Shout out to Gary.
He seems really down to earth, too.
Super down to earth. You know, he's the, I'm going to tell you why you're not successful rather than hide things behind you back and sugarcoat things until you go buy this book. No, I'm going to tell you straight to your face. And that's why people, you know, people didn't like that at first, but now it's like, it's the thing. People want to be called out for their own BS.
Yes.
You know, and that's what he does very well, and he delivers it to you to where he's not pounding you, you know, but he's
giving you what you need. Exactly.
And you know, we met and I just, you know, told him my story, but even, you know, it was like, you know, it was a trade-off, you know, it was a dual trade-off, you know. In the tech community, I'm very known. You know.
Oh, I know. I know. People know Idris Sandu in the tech community.
You know, but you mentioned, you know, someone like Nipsey in the tech community, and people are like, we don't know who that is.
Yeah.
But also in hip hop, Nipsey's very known.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Idris Sandu at that time, and it's like, okay, who's this guy? Yeah. You know, now people like all know me all over. Shout out to Nipsey, you know, for being that big brother that like you know, helped establish that. But you know, Gary V, that initiation of that conversation was from that tech initiative and him being so interested, like, okay, hip hop artists are redefining what it means to be a hip hop artist.
Yeah.
You know, because
and we've done that with so it's so funny because hip hop has done that even as far back as when we started, you know, having our artists in movies, you know, that was such a big thing. Yeah. So now I feel
and
like the next
like
thing
tech,
is tech.
Tech. And so many people need to get on this way. I mean, 21 Savage doing a collaboration with Spotify for machine learning.
Yeah.
You know, they have this, it's an app where you just scan things and it'll be like, it's a cup, it's a that, it's a that, you know, which it's a step for us.
It is.
You know, and even, you know, people like Nipsey investing in cryptocurrency and other things now.
I know. Shout out to Nipsey for even wanting to do this merger of hip hop and technology. Because you wouldn't think.
Yeah. You know, and it also takes someone to fill that generational gap.
Yes.
And, you know, that's definitely. I was that person in that space, you know, where it's like, you know, let's be real. We know that hip hop is the number one most, you know, revenue generating culture. Is hip hop culture is the most, you know, number one generating revenue asset to the United States.
Yes.
Right? And we also know technology is also the number one crossing.
Just, yeah, so like you said, it doesn't make sense, but at first, you think it wouldn't, but it makes so much
sense. And no one
knows
how to, no one's figured out how to monetize off of both of these things.
Yeah.
You know, how do you even fuse these two things together? How do you marry these two? But whoever figures that out wins.
And that's, I also think too, because of the lack of color that we do have in technology, especially from our, you know, Black community, you know, you are probably like, how many people do you think that look like you do the same thing that you do?
Yeah, if
you
can just guess. Not on, like, I haven't, like, honestly, I haven't met one person that's my age that's like done like
so exactly
half.
Because that's also that also like plays into a part of having somebody who's not also just Black but who is young and a part of the millennial generation that can marry technology and hip-hop together.
Correct. I mean, like, you know, we, like I said, we need one archetype. We need one archetype that breaks the glass ceiling and the pavement for everyone else, you know, just like Kanye was in fashion trying to break that glass ceiling. We also need that person in technology to marry fashion and break the glass ceiling for everyone else to be able to create. And so
that's you
and that's me right now. You know, I meet people in my age group, like, you know, one of my good friends, Kamar, he interned for Steve Jobs. He pitched the iPad to Steve Jobs. You know, but he's like 27.
Okay.
You know, real innovative, creative.
Yeah.
You know, and I've met other people too that are like super crazy, you know. And he was on, he was actually one of the candidates for Planet of the Apps. He was on the show. He has dreads.
Okay.
Yeah, he's real cool, real smart. You know, but at this level, 20 years old is like where I get to. I'm just positioned so perfect.
And you know the future of what's next.
Correct.
Whereas
and I can communicate
somebody who's,
with
yeah, who's
both
a little
cultures.
Older doesn't, might not know because, you know,
correct.
The gap.
And yeah, and it takes way more than technology to just do that. You need to have the culture, you need to have the swag, you need to fit right in there. You know, I rap, I spit, you know, I produce music.
This
you know,
is
I've
true.
Been in sessions with like Travis. Like, I'm all well-rounded, but I also get it. I can be that person in a studio with Nipsey Hussle,
but
in a meeting with Tim Cook talking about AI, you know.
Look, it's like, he does those it all. The things he does it all. I bet you Obama was probably like, oh, this is the man I want my daughters to marry.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the one. This is the one. But you know what? Like I said, I wanted to save this little tidbit in case they didn't hear it already. You are responsible for the Explore page, basically.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
Yep.
You created the algorithm.
Yeah, the
so you're the reason why if I look at something, I'll see similar videos on my feed.
Yeah, and you know, to that point, the initial thing I was trying to create was an algorithm for older people.
Can't
you know,
believe
I
it.
Was like, when we think of technology and we think of the way it's just perceived in our generation, we only create things for people 30 years and younger.
Mm.
It's changing now.
Yes.
But at that time, it was 30 years and younger. We didn't really think of the elderly generation.
You didn't, because before, it was the popular page.
Yeah.
And so it was just everything that was just popular or had, like, you know, a lot of likes and that or a lot of views or whatever. And that's what was on your Explore page. But now you're seeing, like,
so many different things.
I'm seeing Asian cooking when I'm looking on mine. I'm like, wait, what?
Exactly.
And I'm open to a lot more things that I probably necessarily wouldn't see.
Exactly.
Because
so
of this new Explore page.
Yeah, it's real. It's more developed.
Yes.
Way more developed because they have a whole team behind it. But the initial thing, and I did a demo, was, you know, I was like, well, you know, most people want to experience Instagram. They want to fit into the gap in the generation, but they don't know how to navigate their Instagram. They don't even know how to log in and all these things. So I was like, I want to create this module that you can just go in and it would filter things around you. So it would get your location and, you know, average out the most likes, the most popular, the most commented, blah, blah, blah. And it would filter all that information for you based on, you know, your geographic location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's based on everything. It's based on, like, people you follow, based on so many things. I just can't believe I'm, like, sitting next to the person. Like, I have to think of you every time I look at my Explore page now.
Yeah. I mean,
when I found that, I was like, okay, so now every time I look at my Explore page, I think Idris Sandu. Thank you.
Thank you for, you know, just, like, understanding that. And, you know, like, the most important thing when I think of things like that is, you know, it's not more so of a bragging right that, you know, I've met with the president or I'm working with, you know, the powers that be right now, or I created the marathon store, a smart store initiative, or, you know, I helped Instagram all these things. It's not bragging rights, but it's more so of responsibility.
Yeah, you being this vessel.
It's and so important.
You, for you to want to be this vessel and for people to want to use you like that, you have to put yourself in these certain positions and things like this so that you can
be
what
influence.
You want to do. Yeah.
And it's like my org chart is crazy. You know, you know, I'm not going to be in technology forever. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to influence in agriculture. I want to influence in telecommunications. I want to influence in machine learning, energy, fashion, mm-hmm. housing. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to create affordable housing communities that are self-sustainable.
Yeah.
You know, technology is like I'm a painter.
Yes.
And technology is one canvas I'm painting mm-hmm. this beautiful picture on. You know, but I'm going to go to a different medium to
yeah.
create, and it's going to change, because as a kid I was that artist that loved vivid watercolor paintings
mm-hmm.
but I was only given monochrome colors to mm-hmm. paint with, black and white, that's it. But as I'm growing, I'm being allowed to create with more color.
Yes.
And you know, that's really important, because when I check my DMs and I see, you know, 5-6 former gangbangers saying I was literally about to go hit someone's house up right now, but I saw your story and it inspired me.
Mm.
Or I have a kid that says I was on the brink of suicide and I was about to literally
end it
jump
all.
Off of
yeah.
this and this and this, but your story inspired me to not do that. It's not an ego stroke, it's a responsibility that I've been given this for a reason, and if I stop at any given time, these are the consequences. That's why you have to be all in when going into it, you know. And that's what I am, just like, you know, I'm just a vessel, you know. I just need, like, you know, Medici backing.
But before we end your story, I want to end it on something that's really cool. Guys, Idris, like he has said, worked with Uber to put out this self-driving car. Now, California, I don't know if you know, is passing legislation. You probably know. You know everything. It's passing legislation for self-driving cars to be on the road as early as 2018. We have a trailer, actually, of the self-driving car that was, I guess, released in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So we're just going to watch this trailer, and then I'm going to come back to you, and I just want to get your opinion on self-driving cars. Because, you know, I'm going to be like, I guess, devil's advocate, I guess, because,
okay.
you know, everybody has something, like you said, fear of something that they don't know. They have all these questions, like, what about safety? What about this? What about that? So we're going to watch the trailer, and then I'm going to ask Idris his opinion. So let's see.
All right.
Uber self-driving car.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me just go right into it. So of course, a lot of people's first question is, how safe really is a self-driving car, and is it as safe as the cars we drive right now?
Yeah, you know, definitely. You know, a lot of people argue that, you know, no matter how precise or how much data sets algorithm has, it can't be as precise as humans, because, you know, there's a factor that humans have, well, any living thing really has, and that's reaction time and
yes.
you know, just flinch and all those things, you know, reaction. And that's what we're able to do in milliseconds. We're able to react to something. You know, if I reached out like this real quick, you'll react real quick. You know, those are just your sensors working together and, you know, avoiding an obstacle.
Yes.
And, you know, with all the computing power and everything we have now, you know, so much on a capacity of something visual, our machines aren't able to do that right now. And, you know, that was my main concern when I was at Uber. Safety.
Oh, wow.
No one was thinking of safety. No one was really focused on, you know, the ifs and the whats. It was more so, this is cool. This is the new thing. And I was like, no.
Wait.
You know, wait. If people are going to be in this, you know, you're focused on safety.
Mm.
So, it was just a hardware and software thing where it could measure your activity levels on the driving wheel.
Yeah.
And it would also measure your spine position. And based off of that, it would calculate a percentage. And based off of that percentage, it would work with the algorithm to detect if you needed assistance or not.
Oh
my gosh. Let's say you were slouching.
Uh-huh.
You were driving, but you were slouching. It would probably be like a 95% or something.
Okay.
That means you were equipped, you were good, you could drive. But now let's say you were driving with one hand and you were texting on your phone, it would engage that you were only driving with one hand.
Mm.
So it would engage a 50-50 ratio. So the car will have half control, you would have half control. Now let's say you were driving and you became incapacitated or you just knocked out or something.
Okay.
You know, the car will engage that no hands were on the wheel, your spinal position was really slouched, so it's not even, you know, up front on the chair, and it would engage full autonomy. And after prolonged times, so I think it was like 2 minutes, if it detected that you hadn't revived, the car will engage full extreme autonomy and it would park to the nearest right exit.
Wow.
And so, you know, we designed that, tested it out. It was really cool. And, you know, some things happen, you know, which I can't really talk about. But ultimately, safety is still an issue that a lot of people are focused on. And I commend Tesla. They're, to me right now, they're killing it with autonomous safety.
Elon
right
Musk,
now.
Right?
Elon is like...
Yeah. He knows.
You
he
go,
knows.
Brother.
Okay, well,
fellow
you know...
African. You know, he's actually from South Africa. He was
You're
born
kidding.
In South Africa. A lot of people don't know that.
Does he? Oh, my gosh. Does he know about your African story about being stranded out there
from
some months?
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is Musk and I have yet to have a full in-depth conversation and work together, but it'll happen.
Oh, yeah. Let me know. But you know what? You've been family already because we know your story. So now you're inducted into BHL family. So we have a few minutes. We're just going to dive into some hot topics. So, guys, I don't know if you know this. You probably should know this, though. Marvel just released the official trailer to the Black Panther movie. I am so excited.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait to see this. I love Chadwick Boseman. He's played in the James Brown movie.
Have you seen Marshall?
No.
He's
actually just, you know, he's in Marshall because I just did the ad for that a few weeks ago. I think last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago.
Awesome. I went there with my my girlfriend like last week, and it was awesome, man.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
It was a really good movie. You need to watch. It's a necessity.
Well, we do have the trailer to see for the Black Panther official trailer. I can't wait to see it. Michael B. Jordan is also in this.
Yeah.
And Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah. All great actors.
Everybody is a great actor in this. So yeah, we're going to go see this. I know I'm going to go see it soon. Full great cast. And yeah, let's take a look in a few seconds while they pull it up. What's the last movie you've seen though while they pull this up?
Last movie, Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.
Yeah. Well, actually, yesterday I went to go see Boo, too.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, Blade Runner. That's what Ryan Gosling... Is it Ryan Gosling in?
Yeah, Ryan Gosling.
It's like Blade Runner 2048. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, amazing movie, by the way. If you haven't, go
check
that out.
Yeah, I want to know.
Actually, go see Boo, too, man. If you want to get a good laugh, go watch that new
Boo. Boo was good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You know, it's really awesome.
Not just saying that?
Nah, it was good. It was really good.
Okay, you know, there were some
cameos and stuff with people in there, so I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, you know what? We can't seem to get the Black Panther trailer, but it's okay. We're just going to go. If you guys want to see the Black Panther trailer, I'll put it up in the bio, or you could just look it up. But you know what? Let's just go into our next segment, and that's Next or Not, where we bring up things that are trending, and we either say it's the next big thing or not. Now, Idris, you might have a little bias on this because, I mean, Steve Jobs kind of inspired you. But the iPhone X is coming out, set to release November 3rd. Now, I'm going to show you the trailer for the iPhone X. You tell me after we watch this, you know, it's going to show us the features and everything. Let me know if it's worth the buy. But you're probably going to be a little biased, but try not to be. But let's just watch the trailer and see the features. And then I just is going to give his honest opinion. So let's see this.
Yeah. Yo, you wanna meet me in the lounge?
Yeah.
Yo, you wanna meet me in the club?
Yeah.
Yo, you wanna meet me downtown?
Okay.
Okay, we saw a lot of stuff. We saw augmented reality, portrait lighting. What was it? A11?
Yeah, it has an A11 bionic chip.
What does that even, layman's terms, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, you say you want to buy, like, unbiased opinion.
Okay, yes.
And it's funny because I had previously, like, tackled down the iPhone X, and I think it's, like, it's a no. I would never buy it.
What?
I advise all of my friends not to get
Wait,
it.
Wait, what? You know? What? You know, it's funny because people were... I remember my mom called me on the phone. She was watching the news and she said that they were reporting from an Apple store when the 8 just came out. And they said that this was the shortest line ever, I think, they had seen for a release for an iPhone.
Yeah,
like, a lot of people were out. Usually the lines are like, you know, out of this world.
You know, in my opinion, Apple has lost a lot of its innovation, you know, since Steve died. And I'm pretty sure so many people,
a lot of people
would
think,
agree
yes.
with us. You know, and, you know... There is due to so many things.
I mean, in my opinion, I believe that
Steve Jobs, he was an innovation CEO. He was an innovative CEO.
Uh-huh.
Tim Cook, he's a structural CEO.
Mm.
You know, one that's afraid to take risks.
Mm.
You know, when you're a billion-dollar company, $250 billion in your bank, and you can't, you know, make certain
decisions. Yeah, like step out on faith.
You
yeah.
know, but,
or creativity.
You know, yeah, Apple does something, you know, which they often do. Which is they introduce a new form factor that's going to lead the next generation of devices. So at first, you know, when you had your first Mac desktop, your iMac, we still have that form factor today.
Yeah.
You know, when you had your laptop form factor that Apple did with the, you know, the first MacBook or the Mac Pro or the Air, it was a form factor that lasted for so many years. Now with the iPhone, you still have the same form factor, but, you know, I feel like they're not listening to consumers.
No, they're not. You know what? If you ever get a chance to work for Apple, can you just tell them this one thing? I think a lot of millennials would like to have their earphone jack back.
Yeah, and that's something that...
Please,
you know,
tell them that. We need
goes
this.
Goes to what I'm saying exactly. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, with so much money built into marketing and, you know, all these things, you know, you should look at your peer groups and say, what are features that people love in a device? You know... Earphones are like, we have over 1 trillion, you know, people with headphone jacks.
Yes.
You know, they're things that are necessities. And you don't just introduce certain features without actually doing research.
Yes.
And all these things. And I'm pretty sure they did. But to me at this point, and the reason I'm like, you know, so I'm just being real honest right now is because, you know, Apple is just like, they've lost so many innovation and a lot of decisions. I mean, can't even count. You know, they skipped 9 and they went straight to 10.
I
get the whole anniversary thing and everything, but it's like, you know, when you're dropping so many subsequent lines and you're putting features in and taking them out, you know, you just had the new Touch ID 2 released in your last iteration of your phone, and now the Touch ID is completely gone. There's no home button. There's physically no home button. And, you know, you're forcing a whole new generation alongside, you know, see, Apple is very generational.
Yeah.
People from 80 years old all the way to...
It's going to be 10, hard for them to work this new phone. This.
And so when you have a device that uses something in, which you deem as innovative called Touch ID, which people are forced to use, you know, in my opinion, it's more, it's really aggressive, you know, that's like, oh, well, you guys like headphone jacks. Well, that's gone. I know a lot of MacBook Pro users are professionals that do a lot of video editing and everything. Well, we're taking all those ports out, and now you have four USB Type-C ports. But guess what? You have to go get an adapter that we're not even giving you. You know, there's so much things that, in my opinion, like Apple is... Honestly, the thing that keeps Apple where they are now is, you know, simply that... You know, they just market really well.
We got to wrap. But before we wrap, I just want to ask one last question. And that is, do you think that Microsoft is doing better at innovating?
Well, definitely not.
I'm like, do you think that they're getting better a little bit? No,
they just discontinued their Windows phone line. So
All right.
What's the name? Bill Gates even uses the Android device. So.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, guys, I loved having you here.
Thank you.
Learned so much. I actually feel like now my IQ has like gone up because I had you in the studio. Your aura. But guys, you can check Idris out because he's going to be at ComplexCon this year from November 4th to the 5th. So go check him out there. Please let the people know where they can find you on social media one last time.
You can find me on all social media platforms, Idris_Sandu. That's IDDRIS. _Sandu, SANDU.
And I'm Raylan T. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raylan Taren. Next week, I will have Jasmine Savoy Brown in studio, and I will see you guys next time. You can follow all things BHL at BHL Online. See you next week. Bye.
Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Everybody. Hollywood Redefined.